I know that I've spoken to some of you over the past few years, some at terrific lengths, about my endless and obsessive admiration for Samuel Beckett, which is one of those subjects that I can go on about endlessly, if prompted to do so. And I'm often asked why I haven't yet read any Beckett to the internet, given that it's one of those things that I can rant onward about endlessly, and I've had several very good answers to this question. It's a good question. But the truth is, I've never really had the leaky-nostrilled, raspy-throatedness that would serve as a good prerequisite for a good reading of this text. Or at least, if I'm to deliver a less than good reading of this text, then I have leaky nostrils and raspy throat to blame. But either way, I come out all right, and either way, the Beckett gets read. So suffice it to say that the nostrils are leaking and the throat is raspy, and so finally we all are sated with Beckett. Good evening. It's Monday the 27th of November 2006, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. Texts for Nothing, number 8, by Samuel Beckett. Only the words break the silence. All other sounds have ceased. If I were silent, I'd hear nothing. But if I were silent, the other sounds would start again, those to which the words have made me deaf, or which have really ceased. But I am silent, it sometimes happens. No, never, not one second. I weep, too, without interruption. It's an unbroken flow of words and tears, with no pause for reflection. But I speak softer, every year a little softer. Perhaps slower, too, every year a little slower. Perhaps it is hard for me to judge. If so, the pauses would be longer between the words, the sentences, the syllables, the tears. I confuse them. Words and tears, my words are my tears, my eyes my mouth. And I should hear at every little pause, if it's the silence I say, when I say that only the words break it. But nothing of the kind. That's not how it is. It's for ever the same murmur, flowing unbroken like a single endless word, and therefore meaningless, for it's the end gives meanings to words. What right have you, then? No, this time I see what I'm up to, and put a stop to it, saying, none, none. But get on with this stupid old threen and ask. Ask until you answer a new question, the most ancient of all. The question where things are always so. Well, I'm going to tell myself something, if I'm able. Pregnant, I hope, with promise for the future, namely that I begin to have no very clear recollection of how things were before I was, and by before I mean elsewhere. Time has turned into space, and there will be no more time till I get out of here. Yes, my past has thrown me out. Its gates have slammed behind me, or I burrowed my way out alone to linger a moment free in a dream of days and nights, dreaming of me, moving, season after season, towards the last, like the living, till suddenly I was here, all memory gone. Ever since, nothing but fantasies and hope of a story for me somehow, of having come from somewhere, and of being able to go back or on somehow, some day, or without hope. Without what hope, haven't I just said, of seeing me alive, not merely inside an imaginary head, but a pebble sand to be under a restless sky, restless on its shore, faint stirs day and night, as if to grow less, good help, ever less and less, and never quite be gone. No, truly, no matter what, I say no matter what, hoping to wear out a voice, to wear out a head, or without hope, without reason, no matter what, without reason. But it will end. A dissonance will come, or the breath fail, better still. I'll be silent. I'll know I'm silence. No, in the silence you can't know. I'll never know anything. But at least get out of here. At least that, no? I don't know. And time begins again. The steps on the earth. The night the fool implores at morning, and the morning he begs at evening, not dawn. I don't know. I don't know what all that means, day and night, earth and sky, begging and imploring. And I can desire them. Who says I desire them? The voice, and that I can't desire anything that looks like a contradiction. It may be for all I know. Me, here, if they could open, those little words, open and swallow me up, perhaps that is what has happened. If so, let them open again, and let me out in the tumult of light that sealed my eyes, and of men, to try and be one again. Or, if I'm guilty, let me be forgiven, and graciously authorized to expiate, coming and going and passing time, every day a little purer, a little deader. The mistake I make is to try and think, even the way I do. Such as I am, I shouldn't be able, even the way I do. But whom can I have offended so grievously, to be punished in this inexplicable way? All is inexplicable, space and time, force and inexplicable, suffering and tears, and even the old convulsive cry, "It's not me! It can't be me!" But am I in pain, whether it's me or not? Frankly now, is there pain? Now is here, and here there is no frankness. All I say will be false, and to begin with, not said by me. Here I'm a mere ventriloquist's dummy. I feel nothing, say nothing. He holds me in his arms and moves my lips with a string, with a fish hook. No, no need of lips. All is dark. There is no one. What's the matter with my head? I must have left it in Ireland, in a saloon. It must be there still, lying on the bar. It's all it deserved. But that other who is me, blind and deaf and mute, because of whom I'm here, in this black silence, helpless to move or accept this voice as mine, it's as him I must disguise myself till I die. For him, in the meantime, do my best not to live, in this pseudo-sepulture claiming to be his. Whereas, to my certain knowledge, I'm dead and kicking above, somewhere in Europe, probably, with every plunge and suck of the sky a little more overripe, as yesterday in the plump of the womb. No, to have said so convinces me of the contrary. I never saw the light of the day, any more than he. Ah, if no were content to cut yes's throat, and never cut its own. Watch out for the right moment. Then not another word. Is that the only way to have being and habitat? But I'm here. That much is at least certain. It's in vain I keep on saying it. It remains true. Does it? It's hard for me to judge. Less true and less certain in any case than when I say I'm on earth, come into the world and assured of getting out. That's why I say it, patiently, variously, trying to vary, for you never know. It's perhaps all a question of hitting on the right aggregate. so as to be here no more at last, to have never been here, but all this time alone, with a name like a dog to be called up with, and distinctive marks to be had up with, the chest expanding and contracting unaided, panting towards the grand apnea, the right aggregate. But there are 4 million possible, nay, probable, according to Aristotle, who knew everything. But what I see is this, and how a white stick and an ear trumpet wear Place de la République at Pernod time. Let me look closer at this. It's perhaps me at last. The trumpet, sailing at ear level, suddenly resembles a steam whistle of the kind thanks to which my steamers forge fearfully through the fog. That should fix the period to the nearest half century or so. The stick gains ground, tapping with its ferrule the noble basamento of the United Stars. It must be winter, at least not summer. I can also just discern, with a final effort of will, a bowler hat which seems to my sorrow a sardonic synthesis of all things that never fitted me, and, at the other extremity, similarly suspicious, a complete pair of brown boots lacerated and gaping. These insignia, if I may so describe them, advance in concert, as though connected by the traditional human excipient, halt, move on again, confirmed by the vast show windows. The level of the hat, and consequently of the trumpet, hold out some hope for me as a dying dwarf, or at least hunchback. The vacancy is tempting. Shall I enthrone my infirmities? Give them this chance again, my dream infirmities, that they may take flesh and move, deteriorating, round and round this grandiose square, which I hope I don't confuse with the Bastille, until they are deemed worthy of the adjacent Père Lachaise. Or, better still, prematurely relieved trying to cross over, at the hour of night's young thoughts. No, the answer is no. For even as I moved, or when the moment came, affecting beyond all others to hold out my hand, or hat without previous song, or any other form of concession to self-respect at the terrace of a café or in the mouth of the underground, I would know it was not me. I would know I was here, begging in another dark, another silence for another alm, that of being or of ceasing, better still before having been. And the hand, old in vain, would drop the might, and the old feet shuffle on towards an even vainer death than no matter whose.